I don't know how many people sat under the teachings when we taught Daniel 70 weeks. I'm sure there must be some here. The board is still covered with the writings of our brother Taylor as he trailed along and illustrated and wrote down those things for you. A lot of times, brethren want to come to the board and take a look at the writings. This refreshes their mind on the things that we taught them. But the 70 weeks of Daniel clearly reveal the coming of Jesus, the condition of the world at the time of His coming, and just how close we are to His coming. And this morning we illustrated a little bit, preached a little bit, and showed the coming of the Lord, how that Antichrist was soon to appear, and spoke of the time of His appearing and what effect it would have on the world and humanity, and how that He so cunningly had, through the past years, maneuvered, manipulated, and engineered things to His own benefit, and was now ready to take over, and the world's unaware was moving right into His hand. I believe after our little talk this morning that you'll confess that the world is ready to move into His hands and He's ready to possess the world. It's obvious by those things that we spoke this morning and confirmed them by the scripture that it's right at hand. And yet the world doesn't see it. I wanted to, tonight if I could, I wanted to continue to talk just a little bit on it, maybe not take a lot of time, but just dropping a few thoughts to back up a few things we said and to add to Daniel 70 weeks, especially to speak concerning the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. 490 years, 70 weeks, 490 years determined upon thy people, Daniel, to make an end. 490 years, 70 weeks, using days for years, weeks for periods of 7 years in prophetical utterance. That's the way that it was intended according to the prophet. You search it out in the Old Testament and you'll find out that's the way that God gave it. The end time is here. The rapture of the church, as we use the terms rapture, it's time for the rapture of the church. It's right at the very eve of the coming of the Lord. I want to go back to the book of Daniel, if you don't mind, and refresh your minds on one or two little things here. I hope you'll be a good listener because we're just a little tired tonight. I wanted to be real fresh when I got into this, but being up with those steps, pouring that cement last night, I didn't get into the house till about 1 o'clock, but I did stay till they finished them. I think maybe one or two might have stayed up a little later to sweep them down after they dried, but I stayed until Jim finished them up. You know, God is doing some wonderful things, folks. Even yesterday and today, some great, wonderful things has been transpiring. And I know that many of our people at Bethlehem has not seen. I realize that they've not seen. And if the people here that are hearing the things that they're hearing hath not seen and hath not understood, then I know that there's many hundreds, millions of people who don't know at all. The Bible said that day shall come upon you unaware. Like a thief in the night shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. All of them, the only ones. You say, but Brother Pike, if it's to come upon all of them that dwell on the earth, then that means that the church will also be in that condition. The Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. For it shall come upon all of them that dwell in the earth or on the earth. So then there is a difference. When all the problems started down in Egypt, there was a boundary line that God had placed between His people and between the Egyptians. In a little place or a little land called Goshen, the Lord had separated it from all the rest. And during all of the wrath of God as it was poured out upon Egypt, the little land of Goshen escaped. And the blessings of God was upon the people. All of their food remained the same. While the hailstones, the bolts of lightning, and all of the evils was befalling the Egyptians and destroying their crops. We spoke of the Antichrist this morning. The book of Daniel, we spoke where he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people. When Daniel said how long, he said a time's time and a half a time. And we spoke concerning this, saying that a time is a year, times is 2 years, and a half a time is a half a year, which means 3.5 years. Or as the writer gave it, 1,290 days. We spoke of the man being wicked, how that he would worship a God that his fathers had not known, how that he would be so different in his form of worship, and how that he would love the power of arms. And the thing that he would be interested in would be the power of arms, to have strength, military strength, that would be his objective in life. And that he in secret would worship a God that his fathers had never known, that he would not worship your God, nor my God, nor even the heathen gods, but would have a God of his own. And that his desire would be money, power, wealth. For it says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. He will not care for marriage. We know that this relates back to the papacy of Rome, because they make themselves eunuchs for their cause. Nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most stronghold with a strange God whom he shall acknowledge, and increased with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. This is reading in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, just refreshing your mind on a passage or two that we read this morning. I remind you again the 40th verse, at the time of the end. That's the thing to keep in mind. At the time of the end. The time of the end. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow, and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land. Goes on to say, and these shall escape Edom, Moab, and Ammon. We spoke of this morning, of those that had to do with the cities of refuge across the Jordan, where the Valley of Petra is, and how that this was given to the children of Lot, how it had to do with Esau's inheritance, how that these would escape for one reason, and that is to give a place of refuge as those that are being pursued flees from the manslayer. Antichrist being the manslayer. They will go into this place over across the Jordan. I remind you again of Elijah and Elisha. Over the Jordan they will go as the church, which has to do with Elijah, goes out. Then receiving the mantle of the presence of God while they're in such bad circumstances, they will return as Elisha did, back across the Jordan, coming back with the mantle, or that is the power to set up the government or to officiate in the earth for the cause of Christ Jesus, in that the church, which hath to do with Elijah, hath gone out, and the government of America will be no more. It says here, they will go there, they will be tutored by the prophets, the two candlesticks, the two prophets, the two olive trees that the Bible speaks of, Moses and Elijah. They will find Christ. Then when they find God, they will have the presence of the Lord with them, returning with the mantle or the power, or that is being sealed by the Holy Ghost, 144,000 the Bible speaks of, and the woman, which will be there at the Valley of Petra, they will be sealed with the great Spirit of God, which is the mantle coming back to Israel. If that time the man-child goes up to the throne, the woman flees into the wilderness, we'll bring a little of that out tonight. They return with the power, because the Bible said when Jesus went into the wilderness, he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, but he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And so then coming back, they will be endowed with power. At that time, it says that the great prince of God will stand for the people of God. In that day, the great angelic force of heaven will unite together as it was in the days of Daniel when the great battle took place in heaven. As a matter of fact, the days of Daniel here, where the battle takes place in heaven, also has to do with the book of Revelation. Whereas at the time of the end, it speaks of the great angel, speaking of Michael the angel, fighting, standing for his people, which is the Jewish people. Remember, Gabriel is a messenger. Always Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, comes with a message. But Michael is a warrior. Always Michael comes when it's time to fight. Always a warrior. Said that he shall stand up in the last days. He says here, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Now this is the time of the end. Every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You'll turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. You will find that the 12th chapter of Daniel that I'm reading from relates to the 12th chapter of the Revelation of John. In the 12th chapter, you will find that it is there that John sees the great wonder in heaven, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, 12 stars upon her head. And there he sees the child being born, sees the child caught up to the third heaven. Now, as we see that, we see the woman goes into the wilderness. There we see the red dragon cast out. Now we've got numbers of tapes where we bring the sound. Then we hear the voice, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The short time here means 3.5 years. He hath been cast out in the middle of Daniel's last week. The 490 years, remember, 483 years, Calvary, right on from Daniel up to Calvary. Then the Jews wander out of their homeland. God doesn't count the time anymore because the church age is set in. And I brought it out explicitly on a tape how that he doesn't start counting the 490 years until after they're all back in the homeland and until after the church is raptured. Then when the church is raptured, from the very minute that the church is raptured, immediately the last week of the 490 begins. That is the last 7 years. So 483 years up to Calvary, then God stops the time because he isn't dealing with the Jews anymore. You say, but why doesn't he deal with the Jews? Someone would say, well, they're not in their homeland. That's true. But that's not the reason he doesn't deal with them. He doesn't deal with them because he immediately turns to the church. And the church age is set in. And the church age continues on down through the years. And God doesn't deal with the Jew anymore till the days of the Gentiles is over. For the church ages are considered to be the days of the Gentiles. And when he is finished with the days of the Gentiles, the church ages will be over. The rapture of the church will be at hand. And God will immediately start counting that last 7 years to finish the 490 years that the angel told Daniel about. There's 490 years determined upon thy people. 70 weeks is determined upon thy people, Daniel. The wall shall be built back in troublesome times, beginning in the days of King Artaxerxes. And so it was, they began to build. About 536, something began to take place. And they built the walls back, about 49 years of it. Then about 483 years, said Messiah shall be cut off, not for himself, but for his people. That is, Jesus won't die because of his sins, but he'll die because of our sins. Then the 490 years stops. 483 of it has expired. Only 7 years of it is left. My, when that 7 years is ended, then that means that the end of the world has come. Now, 7 years. But what we've got to realize is that we do not have to wait until the 7 years has gone by. We do not have to wait until the 7 years have gone, because at the end of the 483 years, Calvary came into view. Christ came into view. We, from that period of time, have been born to the Spirit of God, and the gospel has been preached, and the kingdom of God has been preached, and men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. And since that time, the church ages has been at hand, and millions of people have come to know Jesus. We that have been translated into the kingdom of God, we don't have to worry. Because at the beginning of Daniel's last week, at the very beginning of it, the rapture will take place. And when the rapture of the church takes place, immediately God begins to count years again, And from that time, 7 years will come to pass. And when that 7 years has passed by, then Revelation 19 comes into view, and the blood-stained vesture of the Lord Jesus Christ comes down to this earth on a white horse. When the Lord Jesus comes into this world on the white horse, that will mean that the blood is off of the mercy seat. There will be no more blood atonement on the mercy seat. For that which is on the mercy seat is the blood-stained vesture of the Son of God. As long as that body is on the mercy seat, that means that the Gentiles can continue on. It means that the church ages are still in power. It means that salvation is still available. For as long as the church ages are in power, men can be saved. But in Revelation 19, immediately after the church ages, immediately after the tribulation period, the blood will have come off of the mercy seat. Now you say, Brother Pike, do you think that God is going to wait till after the tribulation period to move the blood off of the mercy seat? No. I believe that in Revelation 19, it will be made manifest to humanity that they might see themselves that the blood is off of the mercy seat. But before the end of the week, God will take the blood off of the mercy seat. The blood atonement that's on the mercy seat, the great vesture that's dipped in blood. Something has to happen at the beginning of the week. For the Lord Jesus himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. The Bible teaches that we who are alive, we who remain, shall suddenly be caught up to meet God, caught up into the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now I say again, they say the air is about 50 miles. It goes up about 50 miles. That means is he's going to be close to the earth. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. We're going to be changed. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that means that we're spiritually going to fade out. No, that means that this body, my natural body, is going to take on a change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that Thessalonians speaks of, the dead in Christ first. And then we who are the church will suddenly be changed. All of the world shall see us. We shall be changed and caught up to be with him. And we don't come back until Revelation 19, which is at the end of Daniel's last week, the 7 year period. At the first of the week, Thessalonians change comes. At the end of the week, Revelation 19, or our return to earth comes. Which means that we shall be caught up to the dressing room of God. We shall be caught up to the marriage. And then return after the 7 years to the marriage supper of the Lamb. When he said, come to the great supper of the Lord. When he spoke of all of these things that would feed upon the dead bodies of those that are killed in the battle of Armageddon, when Revelation 19 begins to take place. Now then, at the first of the week, the church goes out. Where is this located in the Bible? In the third chapter of the book of Revelation, if you'll read, you'll find the church ages ends. The last church age is spoken of. The Laodicean, lukewarm, spew ye out of my mouth age. Feeling that they're rich, having need of nothing. A name that they live, but they're dead, twice dead. And that they're dead spiritually, plucked up by the root. In the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, we find that immediately at the end of the church ages, that there is a voice that speaks out of heaven, and it says, come up hither, John. I will show you the things to come. The church age is ending in the third chapter immediately John, showing the rapture of the church, John said there was a door open in heaven. Thessalonians change immediately at the end of the church ages. The door is seen in heaven. What is the door in heaven? The coming of the Lord. For Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. That door is not seen to the end of the church ages. It's Calvary being made manifest. Immediately, the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven. Whereas Christ is standing, the open door in heaven, and the church immediately goes up and goes through that door to be with God. So then God said, John, come up hither. The rapture of the church, the third chapter, the end of the church ages, the fourth chapter, the door open in heaven, and up the church goes. Then immediately, if you'll notice, following the fourth chapter, just as quick as this takes place, John goes up, he stands there at the throne, he sees these great things around the throne, he sees the four beasts, he sees this great book. There is a great book that is sealed. I say again, it's a scroll, a round scroll. It's a great book, and it's sealed on the backside with seven seals. There are seven seals. Like you take a scroll and write it. Roll it up and seal it. Take another one and write it. Roll it up and seal it. Take another one and write it. Roll it up and seal it. On and on until the seven seals is placed on the book. Seven church ages. Seven great mysteries. Seven great events of God. What kind of book is it? It's called the Book of Redemption. Why was it that John was crying? Why was he upset? Why did he weep the way he did? The Bible said, because no man in heaven, no man in the earth, no man under the earth was found worthy to loose those seals and look thereon. John simply knew one thing, that if there was no man that could open that book, that all of humanity was forever cut off from God and lost. All of God's creation was lost. Everything was lost. So John wept because he knew himself that he would be lost. No one would be saved. But as John wept, the voice said, "Weep not, John, for there is one that had prevailed to open the book, even the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed to open the book." And John said, "I saw as it was a lamb, though it spoken of a lion. Yet he saw him as he was a lamb, going forth to take the book out of the hands of the Ancient of Days that sat upon the throne." And the Bible said he began to loose the seals. And as he loosed one of the seals, a white horse rider went forth. And that rider went forth with a bowl. He went forth conquering. He was a white horse rider. He went forth conquering. Now I want you to notice something here, that those seals have to do with the Jewish people after that the church is gone out. For the church is already in heaven beholding these things. Now I'd like to say something about the seals, but first I'd love to build a little platform here to where you can understand. Coming from the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, going on over, we find that there is 144,000 people that must be sealed. We see that there is four winds wrestling over the waters. And the Bible teaches that there is great destruction that's about to take place. And all of a sudden the voice cries out to the four angels that's on the four corners of the earth holding back the winds. This voice said, "Don't let the winds blow on the earth, nor allow anything to be hurt until after I have sealed the servants of my God in their foreheads." Now, what is this? It is the mantle going back to Israel. The church is gone out. Revelation 4. Then comes the Spirit back. For what is a seal? The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day that thy body is redeemed, all the day of redemption, the restoring of all things, all the millennium, earth that God said would come in. That God knoweth those that are His. He recognizes His seal of approval. My spirit is sealed that I cannot sin against God until the day that this old troublesome body is changed into the new body. Though I might err, I might stumble, I might falter, I might fail in my natural body, but that cannot be counted against my soul. So long as there's not one willful sin that comes from me. If there is no willful sin that comes from me, then I cannot sin. If there's no willful wrong, if there's no willful doings that's contrary to godliness, I cannot sin. Because I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the man that is born of God keepeth himself. He hath the power to keep himself. And the evil one toucheth him not. Let not your heart be troubled. You can keep it from being troubled. You don't have to let the devil bother you. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Tell him to get behind you. Because Calvary is behind you. And Satan was defeated at Calvary. He has no right to get in front of you and cause you problems. So then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealed unto the day of redemption. There is no willful wrong in my heart. I cannot sin because I am born to the will of God, not the will of men. I am not born to the infatuations of the flesh and the thrill of family reunion, or union that is. I'm not born to passions, which is the will of the flesh, but I'm born to the Spirit of God. I'm born to the will of God. He's begotten me in Christ. Born to the Spirit, born to the Shekinah. I can't wander off as Adam did out of the presence of the Shekinah, because I am not just in the presence of the Shekinah. I am born to the Shekinah. I cannot sin because I am born of God. I have no will to go contrary to God. And because I cannot will anything contrary to God, I cannot sin. Because sin is a willful transgression of the law. I cannot transgress the law because I am dead to the law. And the transgression of the law is sin. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. And Jesus said, that which is old is ready to be folded up, laid away, taken out of the way, because it was represented so by His body, the sin or sinful flesh of the law, folded up, taken out of the way. Therefore I am sealed with the Spirit of promise, and I cannot sin against God because I have no will to be contrary to God. Therefore, if I err in my flesh, stumble in my flesh, falter in my flesh, then God counts it a trespass. I pray, Father, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those that trespass against me. Not sin, for if any man should have a trespass, any man should be a sinner, there is an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, that does away with sin. All right. Now, here is Israel being sealed. A seal. 144,000. 12,000 out of each tribe. Making a total of 144,000, which to you and I are the eunuchs that shall escort the bride of Christ. These are they that are not defiled with women. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These are they that shall escort the bride. For they are eunuchs. The queen could not have an escort unless it was a eunuch. Therefore, these are they that escort the bride, 144,000, standing on Mount Zion, having the name of their father, or the seal of their father, in their foreheads. This is why that we must emphasize the name of Jesus. We must emphasize the name of Jesus. I tell you, as I said the other night in talking to some of you brethren, we as the ministry, we have the feeling that it is our duty to go into the world to evangelize, to convert people, to cause them to believe in God. Brothers and sisters, people doesn't need anybody to teach them to believe in God. The Bible said the devil believes there's one God. If you believe in God, that's fine. The devil believes that and trembles when he thinks about it. Everybody believes in a God. Even this Antichrist will worship a God. Everybody. They believe in Confucius. They believe in Mohammedism. They believe in pagan gods. They believe in all kind of gods. God hasn't sent the ministry to convert the world, to cause them to believe in God. God has sent the ministry to declare unto the people the name of God, who God is, that they might worship God. For salvation is in the name of Jesus, beginning at Jerusalem. It must be preached to the ends of the earth. For there is no remission in any other name except the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the minister's job to do as Paul did when he walked up on Mars Hill, saying, "This day I do declare unto you the God whom you ignorantly worship." Why, even the Indians dance to some kind of God. Some kind of God, some kind of spirit. They worshiped it. Our job is to tell them the name. These having the name of their father in their foreheads. The seal going back. Look at the great seal. 144,000. What did the voice say? Don't let those winds blow on the earth. Don't let them blow on the earth until after we have sealed the servants of our God. Daniel said, "I saw these four winds." John said, "I saw these four winds." The same vision, wrestling over the waters. The waters being people. In Revelation, it speaks of waters being people. The 13th chapter of Revelation, it says that the beast came up out of the waters. The Bible said that it was a great multitude of people that this beast come up out of. Isn't that right? Why was it that in chapter 13 it says that the beast come up out of the waters? Why not before then? Because the woman had never birthed a child. Therefore the man child had never gone to the throne. Therefore the devil had never been cast out. Therefore he could not personify himself in a human being that could be a beast. Whereas the Bible said you're a brute beast made to be taken and burned. God refers to those that fell in the garden experience through the beast and the act of the beast. He refers to them as being beast. We're not beast. We're sons of God. As I say so many times, we're not appointed unto death. It is appointed unto man once to die. I'm not a man, I'm a son of God. I passed from death unto life. The Bible said God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death, accepted them. At a certain time he secured them. Now then, what a privilege it is to pass from death unto life. But Satan, being cast out of heaven, he personified himself. Thus he became a beast. Coming up in Revelation 13 out of the waters, referred to in history, if we study, look, the map, we'll find it's the Mediterranean Sea. Coming up out of that, God uses that to illustrate the people. Coming up out of this great sea, Revelation 13, we see this beast. Why? Because Lucifer has been cast out of heaven. What heaven? The second heaven. He was cast out of the second heaven. You say, why do you say the second heaven, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said, I saw, Revelation 12, I saw a great wonder. I saw this woman in heaven. What heaven? The second heaven. How do you know it was the second heaven? Because the Bible said when the child was born, he was caught up to the throne. There had to be another heaven somewhere. One that Lucifer had never been into. One that Satan hath never defiled. The one that God is in. Paul said, such a one as I is caught up to the third heaven. So I knew him. The man that was caught up. Now, the second heaven. Where is the second heaven? It's the church realm. It's the spiritual realm. How do you know that? Because when you're under grace, you're in heaven. Anybody that's under grace is in heaven. I say this over and over. You say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me this is heaven. If you don't believe this is heaven, wait till you get to hell and you can tell the difference. Certainly this is heaven. Every time you get a pain, you run to the dentist or doctor or whatever, you know it's a heavenly place. Grace, brothers and sisters. What a wonderful thing. Not the third heaven, not where God is in the third heaven, but the second heaven. How do you know that it's the second heaven? Because John said, I saw this great wonder in heaven. I saw this woman clothed with the sun. What happened to this woman? Well, the child went up to the throne. But what happened to the woman? It doesn't say the woman was cast out of heaven. It says that the woman fled into the wilderness. How in the world did a woman go into the wilderness being in heaven? Rejoice ye that are in heaven. And the Lord said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus said, explain this thing. He said, I, the Son of Man, who was in heaven. I, the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. I am the Son of Man who stands here talking to you in heaven. Nicodemus didn't understand. Are thou a leader of Israel and knowest not these things? Oh, you don't understand spiritual things, Jesus said. But the woman went into the wilderness. The child had been born. Who was the woman? Israel. Who was the child? Jesus. Going up to the throne. But you say, but Brother Pike, Jesus was born back there of the Virgin Mary many years ago. I know it. This shows the Virgin Mary in her travail. But listen, Jesus is considered being birthed of Israel whenever Israel recognizes the nail prints. He is not the son of Israel until Israel recognizes him. When Israel recognizes him, when he appears in the middle of the week, when he shows the nail prints and a nation is born in one day, when they accept God, 144,000 after the church is caught out is sealed. 144,000, they're sealed. Then following that, the winds are turned loose. Those winds that Daniel saw wrestling over the waters. What kind of winds? Winds of doctrines. Winds of doctrine. Be not carried about by every wind of doctrine, the Bible says. What kind of doctrine? I have at times made the statement, four C's, that we might be able to recognize them. See? Catholicism. Coming out of the South, predominantly controlled by Catholicism. If you don't believe it, go down there. Another C, what is that wind? Communism. Where? Coming out of the North. Another C, where does that come from? Capitalism, out of the West. Where does the other C come from? Christianism, which is out of the East. For the Bible said salvation is of the Jew. All four winds of the earth, all four great powers and strength trying to set up a kingdom in this world to dominate, to control the people, wrestling over the waters. Bombs right now ready to fall. Missiles ready to blow the world to pieces. And the things that John saw come to pass when the sea began to give up the mountains and the mountains began to come up And when the mountains that John saw that was already out of the water went down, the whole earth going into a convulsion, man coming back right on his axis. Therefore, the earth following the same thing, come back right on its axis. The natural, the physical, the spiritual, the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven. The first power, the second power, the third power. The outer courts, the inner courts, the holies of holies. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the book of Revelation. Everything just like God has set it up. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. All of these things begin to take place just as quick as the servants of God were sealed. The winds was turned loose. Brothers and sisters, Jimmy Carter going to the Jewish people, it was typical, and it showed that God was sealing the Jews, lifting that thing off of the Jews that has been over them for many years. I say this again. When the Pope of Rome made the statement that we now know that the Jews are not guilty of the blood of Christ, but made the statement that he knew that they were guilty. Him being the God of the earth and the type showed the God of heaven and the Spirit that he, as the God of the earth, had forgiven their sins. Just as Jesus accepted the blame and went to Calvary for us. So then it means that the blood, when they cried and said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, it meant that the blood was no longer upon them. That peace had come to Israel and Jimmy Carter, or JC, Jesus Christ, as they typed it, going to Israel, for the prince shall stand in the last day for his people. Peace shall come to Israel. Peace. You know that couldn't be peace from war. I made the statement, I said, if peace comes to the world, I'm a false prophet. When Jimmy went over there and he's talking about world peace, I said, just as sure as they get world peace, you can call me a false prophet. Because if they get world peace, I am a false prophet. There is no peace to the wicked. The Bible said when they cry peace, sudden destruction shall come upon them. And all of a sudden, look what happened. Just all of a sudden, Jimmy thought he had peace, and everything went crazy. Everybody went wild. And now there's ships in the Persian waters. Everything is gone topsy-turvy. No peace. Even Jimmy, I saw him in a vision when he was just scrutinizing things and finally just took it and throwed it down like that and just walked out. Couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle it. Made the statement not too long ago. Said, I failed the people as a president. We are at the time of the end. And when shall these things be? Daniel said to the angel. These things shall be at the time of the end, Daniel. For the king of the south shall push at the king of the north. That's what Jimmy's doing right now. The king of the south shall push at the king of the north. You say, but Brother Pike, Jimmy's not pushing at Russia. Jimmy certainly is pushing at Russia. Russia's not pushing at Jimmy. Russia's going into the waters of Persia, taking a spoil for themselves, but not messing with America. But Jimmy is pushing at Russia. And the king of the south shall push at the king of the north. And he shall be stirred up like a whirlwind. And he shall come against the king of the south. And the king of the south shall not be able to stand. He shall overflow. Overflow the great nation. He shall plant his palace in the glorious lands. For the Bible said, tidings out of the east shall trouble him. I remind you again that Herod, though he was a great king, when the wise men came, they kept saying there's going to be a king born. And though the Antichrist will rule all of the world, have dominion over all of the world, yet tidings out of the east shall trouble him. For they shall sing the praises of God, saying, the Lord of lords and the King of kings shall be born, and he shall do away with Antichrist. And it shall trouble him, and he shall go forth to destroy. The Bible said in that day, an evil thought shall come into the mind of Gog and Magog. And who is that? Russia. And they will say one to another, let us go up and take a spoil from the city with unfenced walls. That's where they're heading right now. They started this thing to get to Israel. I made the statement when the Iran crisis started, I said, this will bring on the oppression of Israel. This will bring on the tribulation of Israel. I want you to listen. You say, what are you talking about? The time of the end. This is the time of the end. What does that mean to us, Brother Pike? It means we're going to heaven or going to hell one way or another. It's the time of the end. Are we ready to meet God? Somebody said, but I've got so many things to do. You haven't got any time to do anything. Just get right with God and start calling on God. It's the time of the end. The Iranian crisis, I said, it'll bring on the oppression of the Jews. It did bring on the oppression of the Jews. Why did Khomeini, just out of a clear blue sky, say, I'll give about 17,000 troops to fight against Israel? They didn't have any argument or dispute. But all of a sudden, he just up and wanted to fight against Israel. Why was that? Because it has to do with Antichrist. I said it will be the Third World War. And it will bring on Antichrist. And at that time, they didn't have a ship in the water. Hadn't even had a disagreement. But look at what happened. And they still say it won't be the Third World War, but it will be the Third World War. And it'll be the end of all things. The Bible should be sober, for the end of all things is at hand. Brother, it's the end of the world. So then from the fourth chapter, the church being caught out, John sees this great seal book. He sees this great book of redemption. He's able to go forth and take that book. That is, Jesus is able to take that book. The church is able to take that book. We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We're able. We're the only ones that can unseal the great mysteries of God. We're the only ones that can break the seal of the church ages to show the great revelation of Jesus Christ. The mystery of God, that it might be finished, that the last trump might sound. For the Bible said, when the trump of God shall sound, the last trump shall sound, then the mysteries of God should be finished. You say, but Brother Pike, is there any mysteries of God? The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. I'm a steward of that mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. For God, the Spirit, was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, caught up into heaven. It's not just some game like some evangelists are playing of a healing ministry and running people through like a bunch of pigs and cows and shoving them down, mistreating the ladies and everything that can be thought of in this hour and this day. Not that kind of foolishness. But the Bible said we must be about our Father's business. I believe in praying for the sick, but not make a game out of it. We're not a bunch of children. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I'm a man now. I put away childish things. We're at the time of the end. The mysteries of God must be unveiled. They must be finished. So then, when we see this woman going into the wilderness, when we see the seal coming back to Israel, then we see the four winds turn to loose. What does that mean? That means that these four powers of the earth, America, all of these powers, remember Catholicism is not a religion, it's a government. All of these powers are trying to get control of the people and they're fixing to be turned loose. There's going to be a massacre. And the Bible said, I saw the cities of the nations fall, the great skyscrapers crumble down to the ground. And so great an earthquake that has never been since man was on the face of the earth. Never before has there been such a great earthquake. I saw it. Those bombs being hurled about till the very stars will come out of heaven. It will shake the very stars out of heaven. Brother Pike, do you actually believe the bombing will shake the stars out of heaven? I made the statement the other night that those stars are reflectors. And they're up there in the heaven. They represent people in the church that don't have the Holy Ghost, that just reflect religious experience, that just reflects other people's experience. People that don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The sun is a star. There's many stars that are balls of fire that can stay up there. You can shake the earth all you want to, but they'll still stay up there because they're balls of fire. They can continue, but reflectors can't do that. Those reflectors are called wandering stars. They can't stay still. They hold no post of duty. They don't support the cause of Christ. They don't live godly and holy. They just wander from place to place. But they shall fall from heaven. Wandering stars, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Those stars shall fall, for the Bible said a third part of the stars fell from heaven. For the red dragon, the middle of the week, Lucifer. When you say red dragon, what do you mean? The blood life. That old life that's caused from the will of man. That old life that's caused from the fall of Adam. The beast life. Blood life. Satan in the bloodstream. Lucifer. When the blood atonement is gone from heaven, no more blood life can come into the presence of God. The second heaven will be at an end. That is, the days of grace will be over. Because as long as there's grace, that's a heaven. As long as there's a heaven, blood life has got a shield, and Satan can live in that blood life. And as long as he lives in that blood life, he's protected. When the sons of God come to present themselves, Satan comes in the blood life of those that are not sons of God. They are covered by the Shekinah like Adam was to the extent of the days of grace. But brother, they're only reflectors. And the very minute the blood comes off of the mercy seat, they can't stay in the spiritual realms anymore. For the Spirit lifts. Grace is gone. There is no more second heaven. We who have God's Spirit are not reflectors. We are filled with the Spirit of God. And we've been caught up into the third heaven with the presence of God, born of His Spirit, into the mind of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the next dimension, into the holies of holies. If you got just a few more minutes. What do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean the rent veil. When the Bible said the veil was rent in twain, Jesus made in Himself both Lord and Christ, two, twain. And Jesus said, they must separate the Christ from the Lord. They must take my body and rend it in twain. They must separate the life from the body, the spirit from the body. For the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his body when he said, I'll raise it up in 3 days, this temple. They didn't understand that he made in himself both man and God, Lord and Christ. And the separation of the rending of the veil had to come that you as a body might be dead in the presence of God so far as sin is concerned. And the body was ripped away as Joseph that went down into the dungeon because the evil woman with her evil affections laid hold on his garment. He would not commit evil. And she rend the garment from him because he tore loose from her. Jesus, hanging at Calvary, when she laid hold on his body and God turned his face away from him because he could not look at sin, Jesus wrestled himself loose from the body and left it hanging in her hands as Joseph did. And went down into the heart of the earth because she had accused him when he wasn't guilty. But it wasn't long before he had the keys. And it wasn't long before he was on the throne. And in the time of famine, his brethren came to him. You can see that bride, that Egyptian bride, coming from among the Gentiles. You can see them brothers of the Jews returning to him as he sits there in that millennium government. We, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, the world tries to lay hold on our body because within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Sin is conceived in the flesh. Iniquity is conceived in the flesh. But we refuse to have any part of it. We don't want the frolics of the world, the ball games and all the sports and the foolishness that the church has gone after. We don't want to be spotted and blemished by that whore. We want to rend ourselves from this body and consider yourself to be dead with the body of Jesus Christ. And the veil was rent in twain. And my body is dead by the body of Jesus Christ, and my spirit translated in the kingdom of God. Hid with God. Hid with Christ. Out of this earth. No more active in this body. Until the day of the change and the day of the redemption and the day when the briars will be gone. Spiritual devils and demons from the spiritual earth. All be taken away in the curse. When the curse is lifted. All be taken away. Now, the veil rent in twain. I can go into the presence of God. I am in the presence of God. I'm caught up into the third heaven. I'm in the presence of God. I'm not in the earth anymore. I'm not active in the body which is made of dust anymore. I'm not active there anymore. Hallelujah. So then the second heaven being open, the blood life will be out of the presence of God. No more blood life can go in the presence of God. Only spiritual, angelic life. The third covenant. You remember the tape I preached about the water covenant, then the meat covenant, then the spiritual covenant. We are the people of the spiritual covenant. Only those in the spiritual covenant will be able to enter into the presence of the holies of holies. Only we will be able to remain because grace will be gone. You say, but Brother Pike, how can God take away grace? Don't you know we need grace? Brothers and sisters, the church doesn't need grace. The church is grace manifested in their body. They are the Son of grace. They're born of His bone and flesh of His flesh. They're born of God and they can't sin. It's the bowels of compassion from the church that lets the world continue to live. A righteous man don't need grace. Why does he need grace? Grace was given for the unrighteous. The Bible said we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you think Jesus Christ needs grace? Jesus Christ died that we might have grace. He was the only one fit to give grace or to bring grace because of His righteousness. So then, but the veil of the temple rent in twain. Why was that? So that we could go up into the third heaven. So the second heaven would be over. The woman then in the wilderness. You know the church is in a wilderness. Look around you. What has happened? She's in a wilderness. She don't know what's going on anymore. The church world in general is in a wilderness because she parallels with Israel. And the spiritual perspective of Christ to the church, the spiritual Jew, just like the natural Jesus will be to the natural Jew. In the spiritual perspective, we see it. The church is in a wilderness. She's mixed up. She don't know what she's doing anymore. Why? Ball games and frolics and suppers. All of these silly doings that she's carrying on. Like a bunch of children. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And while Moses was away in the mountain getting the word of God, they was down there dancing over an offering or a golden calf. And the Bible said God ground it up, put it in the waters and made them drink it. It was bitter to them. Some of these evangelists has got these foolish ideas about being millionaires. And the Bible said, flee these things, O thou man of God. Lay hold on righteousness. Fight the good fight of faith. God's going to grind some of that gold and silver up. What's happening to them? Sorrow. Heartaches. Woe. 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 To the great church movements and the great evangelists that's doing all of these things and pulling from millions of dollars. Folks, we're at the time of the end. We're at the time of the end. What we need is God, not money. It don't take money to win souls. It takes God's Spirit. You can have billions of dollars if you don't have God's Spirit. You can't win souls. Now, we're at the time of the end. What is it? It means the end of the world is here. The second heaven is ending. Lucifer don't have any coverage. Revelation 13, he's got to personify himself in a human body so the world can see him. Then he knoweth he had but a short time, 3.5 years. Then comes the voice. Now has come salvation. Now you got strength, brethren. Now you've got salvation. Now you've got strength. For the accuser is not between your prayer and your God anymore. Just believe what you will and do what you will. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The seal on the Jews, then the four winds, then the bumming, then the tribulation, then the stone is dropped down into the ocean. Then comes the tribulation of the great whore. Then comes the smiting of the Antichrist. Why? Because the seals are open. The seals are open. I wish we had time to say something about them. I'm not going to say anything about the seals tonight. I really want to say something about them. Maybe another night. But the seals are open. The book of redemption. He hath received it. The book of redemption. The whole world is preserved because somebody prevailed to open the book. Loose the seals thereof. The Son of God hath prevailed. There is a body of Christ in the earth. Do you believe that? There's a body of Christ Jesus in the earth tonight. They prevailed. You say, what do you mean prevail, Brother Pike? I mean they've lived an overcoming life. You say, oh, there's nobody that's good, Brother Pike. Nobody that's good. The Bible said in what that is said, it is said to them that are under the law, that all might be guilty of sin. But he that is righteous even as he is righteous. They that have fallen from grace are under the law. But brother, we're born of the Shekinah glory of God. We're not under the law. If we was under the law, we could sin. But being dead to the law, we can't transgress. In the transgression of the law is sin. If sin then brings death, then because there is no sin. Grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? Who's afraid of you? Where is thy sting? Grave, where's your victory? If death hath no power, what victory doth the grave have over the body? You understand what I'm saying? No transgression because there's no law. No sin because there's no transgression. No death, because the sting of death is sin. No sin. He that is born of God cannot die. He's passed from death unto life. He cannot sin. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to have to stop right in the middle of my sermon. Right in the middle of it. Because we're just now getting started into some of the things we want to say. But we took so long running out on a few limbs, trying to explain a few things, keeps us from continuing on staying with the trunk of the tree. Maybe we'll get back with it another night and talk about it some more. But folks, remember one thing. The four winds is about to blow. The four winds is about to blow. And inasmuch as the four winds is about to blow, tribulation is about to come. And this is the thought that I want to leave in your minds tonight. At the beginning of Daniel's last week is the rapture. When the rapture comes, the beginning of Daniel's last week, what takes place? Immediately, the tribulation sets in. That means that the tribulation is close at hand. The tribulation period is close at hand. Every one of you that don't have the Holy Ghost will not go in the rapture. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pine, don't get a radical. We are a believer. If you believe, the Bible said you do well, the devil believes too. That won't do the job. If you have not my spirit, you're none of mine, he said. And there is but one spirit, that's the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to get the Holy Ghost. Because it's going to take the Holy Ghost to make the rapture, folks. Being a believer is good if you press on. Because if you are a true believer, you will receive the Holy Ghost. But remember, you can be a make-believer. So then, if you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, you need to get the Holy Ghost. If you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we must declare the name that hath remission of sin, that people might not ignorantly worship gods that they don't know and that they don't understand. We must decline to them the God, Jesus Christ, whom some ignorantly worship. That is, those that are true in spirit to the extent that they're seeking a way of escape, seeking a supernatural help. They are ignorantly worshiping God His name is Jesus. This day, Paul said, I declare unto you the name of God, the God whom you ignorantly worship. He said that as he stood on Mars Hill. Do that they might have a way of escape, for that door will appear in heaven. And that door is Jesus. And that's the only door. And when it appears, we are planning to go through that door. Are you planning to go through that door? He said, come up hither. Are you planning to go through that door? Now, I could really preach tonight. I could let loose and really preach tonight. But I can tell that you're a little weary and you're going and coming, you know, but you fanned the sparks long enough to at least let me get across a few thoughts. But oh, I could walk the aisles tonight and really declare as the trumpet of God sounds, really declare the time of the end. The time of the end. I hope you understand. Some of you I know understand. Some of you I'm sure are trying to understand. Let's all stand together. It is very difficult to be able to teach. Paul said, I'm preaching a teacher. To be able to teach Daniel's 70 weeks unless you take a period of a number of days. We've just kind of fought 2 or 3 days to try to get enough crowded into tapes and into the ears of the audience that you might by that understand what you can conceive while I'm preaching, and then go back and relate to the tapes to review it, to consider it, to think on it, that the Holy Spirit might unveil the rest to you, giving you something to go back and chew on, as we say, until God can make known to you His will. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Though you mightn't be a believer, yet you need the spirit of revelation. Let God give you the spirit of revelation. Ask God to give you the spirit of revelation, that He might reveal the life of His Son in you, and that He might make known to you the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that's what God wants to do. You're at the time of the end, folks. It's the time of the end. When shall these things be? At the time of the end. And the angel of Revelation 12 fought, and the dragon fought, and he prevailed not, for Michael cast him out, and he was in the earth, personified in a human body. Revelation 13, he shows himself. What a sad moment. What a sad time. When all of the world begins to receive the mark of the beast. Everything in its computerized system is set up to bring on the mark of the beast. One man can now control the world through computerized means. So then, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, if you haven't come into the presence of God and been born of His Spirit, friend, let me invite you tonight to come to Jesus. Let me invite you tonight to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, hundreds and millions of people are waiting for the gospel. America is so privileged to hear the mysteries, so privileged to hear the word of God. Not too long ago, we come from Haiti. And our brother here, we met him in Florida, where he had just come back from a crusade in Haiti. There are millions of people wanting to hear the word of God, wanting to hear the word of God. Multiplying hundreds and thousands of them, more and more throughout the islands, wanting to hear, wanting to see, wanting to believe. We met many, many thousands of people. And on 1 or 2 trips into South America, 100,000 pieces of literature we placed in people's hands. Barely scratching the surface, for millions want to hear the gospel. Pray for us. Work with us. Help us to do all we can at the last minute so that we can be partakers together. By our outreach of TV, we're able to reach millions of people. By our outreach of radio, by our outreach of the printed page, able to reach millions of people. Let's invest a little time of praying, a little time of pleading, a little time of helping, a little time of doing something on the home front here with the presses or in the offices or passing out a little bit of literature for the gospel's sake. Let's do something, Christian friend. Let's do something. At the same time, let's pray that God will give us the spirit of revelation that we might do something for Him. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Millions of people are wanting to hear the gospel. You know, we alone in our own ministry have invitations across the world, not being able to get to them yet, but across the world they've asked us to come, ranging all the way from the Holy Land, Palestine, down to India, to Africa, the islands, South America, Central America, here in the United States, of the different states. You know, it really breaks my heart to think that we just can't do everything that we want to do. But think what it's going to be like if you don't make an effort. At least we're making an effort. Let's sing a little chorus together. Are you making an effort tonight? If you're not making an effort, make an effort. Find somebody. If you can't labor with Brother Pike and you can't support the ministry here, if it's too deep for you to understand, then find somebody that you can understand. There's somebody that's on your level. There's somebody that can talk to you. There's somebody that can help you. They need the support. They need you to stand behind them. But if you're willing to dig in, if you're willing to try to unveil, if you're willing to try to understand, if you're willing to try to launch out into the deep, if you're willing to try to know the mysteries of Christ, willing to get into the great things of God, for the meat is for the strong, they who have by reason exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. If you're willing to do that, then give us your hand and let's walk together. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. Listen carefully, and your mind will begin to open up, and the understanding will begin to be enlightened. And you'll be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, the widths of the great mysteries of the living God. What a happy day. What a happy day. You love Jesus. It'll make you happy. It'll make you sing. Let's sing that little chorus. See if we can find the key for it. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice for Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice for Jesus made me glad. Let's sing it again. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will. Is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice.